The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org. Today, we bring you a rebroadcast of our conversation with Amy Germain, the executive director of Woman Led.
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour. I am in the studio today with Amy Germain, who's executive director of a relatively new organization called Women Led.
Hi. Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. I'm going to read your mission statement, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. So Women Led is a Portland, Oregon-based nonprofit. So far, all this makes sense. Founded in 2016, serves scalable women-led companies by convening peer-to-peer mastermind groups. I think I understand what women-led companies mean, but define scalable.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're all trying to define what that means now. But in terms of women-led, scalable really means concepts that are able to kind of go above and beyond a certain measure. Obviously, a food cart to us isn't scalable, interesting, but not scalable. But perhaps a software company or a bioscience product in women's health, these kinds of concepts that women traditionally have difficult times raising funds for, is an area where we've decided women need the most support. So scalable being that that's an area where a lot of barriers exist.
Okay, and let's go through some of those barriers. So why do women have a difficult time raising funds for these?
Yeah, that's a great question. Women face a lot of barriers, a lot of social barriers, cultural barriers. Even though women are two times more likely to open businesses than their male majority-owned counterparts, we find that women are twice as likely to not get funding. So we have barriers that exist like child care.
And we're talking about funding beyond, this is not Kickstarter funding. We're talking about large-scale funding,
Large-scale, I would also say small-scale. Oftentimes, $100,000 is all you need and is really difficult to come by for women. We oftentimes don't have the collateral. We oftentimes don't have the standing in the community. Funding is typically given in a tribe manner. We don't have as many women investors currently seeking other women to invest in. So the more women that are CEOs and business owners, the more likely that women will also gain access to that kind of capital. So from the spectrum, from a very low level of bootstrapping and resources, we have very little cash flow, oftentimes no land, no collateral, no inheritance. So you can see that that's a massive barrier to overcome to get to the cash flow.
And where are we talking about this cash flow coming from? I mean, are we talking about angel investors? Are we talking about just straight out loans? What are we talking about?
Well, there's a spectrum depending on how far you can scale your business up. I would say that there's a kind of a lower level spectrum of just getting started, enough money to get you launched, all the way through product development, commercialization of a large scale manufactured product, which, you know, could be in the millions of dollars. So most women tend to bootstrap and bring up with very small resources a launch phase that will generally move them towards VC and angel investment. But again, we don't see the numbers in the women's category and the minority category like we do for male majority-owned businesses.
So this is kind of like Shark Tank, but for women and run by a nonprofit and not on TV.
Well, what makes Women Led really unique is this, they embrace the concept of the mastermind group and really the system of support, which is what women have traditionally really lacked. And we believe that through peer-to-peer mentorship, that women can stand on the backs of other women who are in the same space, sharing resources, you know, having access to vetted partnerships and networks within the community, but also a intimate environment where women can go, I'm scared, or I'm feeling weak, or I don't know how to do this. And that's a really powerful moment when you can get a group of women who underserved population who can use each other as a way to kind of spur the growth and the movement.
Right. So we started out the conversation talking a lot about financing, and I apologize. That may have set us off on the wrong path a little bit, because it sounds like at the heart of Women-Led, the organization, is really the peer-to-peer, what you guys call peer-to-peer mastermind groups.
Yes. And the peer-to-peer mentorship model in general, which we find that in Portland, especially, there's a lot of resources in the small business development, the entrepreneurship development, you know, writing a business plan, some basic financials. And then there's a really impressive grouping of business incubators and accelerators. And then you kind of have your we have a handful of VC and angel investment groups. So throughout that spectrum, we really believe that mentorship is a potential bridge between those groups. We could potentially be a connector with mentorship from the pre-concept stage, from ideation to launch or post, pre or post, all the way through to growth. And so the mentorship model really serves along the spectrum, which we think is unique and serves as an interesting bridge. Something to kind of straddle those gaps in between those areas.
Are these different mentors each time? Or is it customized to the woman CEO? Or is this, again, like Shark Tank and there's the same panel of four people each time?
Yeah, the groups are actually separated by kind of which category you exist in. Are you kind of pre-launch? Are you growth? Do you have employees? We try and keep women relatively together, intimate groups, 8 to 10 women, and they meet almost 3 months at a time. And then we accept another cohort of women so that you get kind of sustained, intimate, peer-to-peer mentorship. And then when you create connections, those can carry on throughout the different phases. So we tend to group women accordingly. Everybody has a different need in each category, and then they can obviously reap the resources within that. If they want to pursue a higher level mentorship, we can make the connections.
So I just want to make sure that I have the process straight. So there every 3 months, there's sort of a new incoming class.
Yeah, exactly. There's an application process. We have 4 quarters, and we accept women usually ongoingly, but usually then we place them at the quarter mark so that people can take the time to develop the relationships and create a kind of a bond, if you will.
And what's the acceptance rate?
Well, Women-Led has had, since 2016, 40 women come through the programming. We currently have 20 enrolled, which, for being a tiny little nonprofit with a sub $50,000 per annum revenue, we know that there's a need. We know that women are feeling isolated. We want to now grow the programming to really fit that need. We're currently kind of taking a step back and taking a look at the environment to see how we can better do that.
I mean, it must give you a lot of insight into the entrepreneurship world in Portland. What are you seeing in terms of size of business, type of business, spirit of the business?
Yeah, I mean, Portland, I think, is coming up in the startup entrepreneur space. The ecosystem is developing. By that, I mean, you see a lot more incubators, accelerators, kind of high value VC and angel investment coming in. Portland is a place although we're small business, is very prized. We have your food carts and your kind of mom and pop shops and small boutique areas promoted by like William Street and Division. And so you can see that there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of work in the construction business. So I think that we have a very robust small business space. And we have a lot of services in those spaces. Our partner's Mercy Corps. We work with Awami. There's all kinds of organizations that work with SBA and SBDC, the small business, the small business kind of service providers, if you will. And we also have a kind of robust product development, innovation, bioscience sector because of OSU and PSU and the educational institutions. Business Oregon promotes a lot of innovation and commercialization of products that will benefit Oregon in the future. So I think it's evolving. I don't think it's quite there yet. We want to understand it more. We're in the process of undertaking a needs assessment so that we can further understand where the gaps are in the ecosystem and where women and minorities really are not being captured. And what do those services look like? What do they need to break down the barriers to really push Portland to the next level?
Amy Germain is the executive director for Women Led. And now you brought in a song for us. Let's take a music break. Set up the song for us. Why the song? The message seems to be pretty clear with the title, but talk to me a little bit about the song.
Yeah, be the change, right? And she talks a lot about community and really kind of standing up and supporting each other. And Women Led is that entity. We really believe in the power of standing on each other's backs and reaping the resources from our community. You'll hear her talk about adding your brick in to the wall. So we're really excited about the change that we bring. We want to be the change. And Miriam talks about that.
Great. Let's take a listen.
Tomorrow.
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. I am joined with Amy Germain, who's Executive Director of Women Led, who is an organization, a relatively new organization, that is working with women-led companies, primarily with the CEOs, to help with peer-to-peer support and to get women companies launched and jump-started. Women companies are different than men companies?
Yeah, we think to a certain degree. Women have different needs. We've kind of touched on women have different social characteristics. We have usually children to feed, or we have hard time with work-life balances. We have a little bit added pressure. So imagine being the CEO of a launch company in the millions of dollars, and you have to juggle that with your home life, with also some of the barriers that do exist for women. You maybe don't have a network. You're not, you don't have a lot of highfalutin people at your disposal. And so how do you grow that with the confidence and leverage that a male counterpart would typically have? So yeah, we've also heard that women have a greater isolation. So how do women overcome that barrier to become a sustained, successful, thriving company?
I want to talk about some of the, not necessarily barriers, but challenges that an organization like yours has in launching. How did you get your first group of mentors to be part of this organization? You have a large number of women that are working with you and serving as mentors and advisors. How did you convince them to do this?
Well, Women Led started, as do a lot of grassroots organizations, kind of in the meetup space, kind of posting up little meetups here and there. Come talk to us about your needs. Let's meet up and talk about our challenges. Maybe we can share who our marketing guy is, or who can do logos, or, and so I think that once people start to get together, the momentum drives. Women Led was started by a group of women who are still sit on the board. We have two founding board members who really have driven the value of the organization, who also have their own businesses and are very close to the struggles and created it for their own space to figure out how to move past some of the challenges that they have. And so Women Led really has kind of taken off just through word of mouth, and other women saying, wow, you really need to experience this. There's resources for us. There's a space where we can feel confident and get help to move to the next level.
Sure. And it sounds like it's growing. I mean, you had 40 women who went through the program in the first 2 years. And now in this quarter, you said you already have 20 women in the program. That's a big jump.
Exactly. We're really excited about that. And it was time that Women Led, if they wanted to move it forward, hired their first staff members. So I just came on a month ago to take Women Led to the next level, where potentially we have hundreds of women in the environment. How we're going to get there, we're still figuring out where the gaps are. But we're really confident that through this next year and a half, through kind of robust program development, that we're going to gain more resources and be able to serve many more women in this space.
Why have it as a nonprofit? Why not have it as a consulting business? I mean, there seems to be obviously opportunities, but also perhaps it's an interesting within the free market space that you are consulting for these businesses, that you are a nonprofit. That's a different type of organization.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Really, it's for us, it's going to be community-based development that's going to get us there. Meeting women where they're at, figuring out what the needs are of the underserved population. And it's not just women, it's minorities. There's a huge underserved population that needs aren't met by the current ecosystem. Refugees, immigrants, people from the LGBTQ community. So how do we develop programming that really can be inclusive and capture all of the needs of the women in that space. So for us, really being a nonprofit and being community-based and having partners rooted in Portland, such as Prosper Portland, the city of Portland, and moving those resources into the hands of the people that need them is mission critical.
And now your background, you had worked globally with microfinancing, correct?
Microfinancing a little bit, more so in the economic development space, working with disadvantaged populations and emerging economies.
So that sounds like there's some similarities, but some differences there.
Yeah, I mean, things work very different domestically than they do internationally, as you can imagine. I just spent the last year in Asia, which is kind of going through its industrial revolution, if you will, or technological revolution, really, because their technology is growing at tremendous rates. But the needs are different, and the gap between the underserved and the people in power is massive. Here, there's a spirit of entrepreneurship that goes back to our founding. America prides itself on the ability for anybody to come into this space and own a business and take care of your family and, you know, buy a house if that's what you want. And so we've neglected to address some of the challenges in the growing up of that. We still have some social norms that that we haven't addressed. There are barriers that exist. Yeah, that's really different from being able to put a plate of food on the table in Cambodia, say.
I want to talk about some of the social norms. I find it interesting that you're from Atlanta, and yep. I'm going to do a little bit of stereotyping here. I spent a summer in Atlanta. I worked for Jimmy Carter one summer, and I was just it's a very gender traditional city. At least it was at the time, very structured. It's very male dominated in that you had patriarchs. You had Dr. King. You had Jimmy yep. Carter. That were just these strong fathers of the city. Is that influencing your work at all, that culture to grow up in?
I think so. I mean, I grew up in kind of the suburbs of Atlanta, in kind of a small little area, Alpharetta, which is very close to the city, but still kind of cloistered and cut off back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, I feel like I've had to fight a lot. And I stand here today as somebody that's spent a lot of time working in male-dominated careers and coming from a male-dominated society like Georgia, where there's social norms, where the woman has very kind of set out roles. And I didn't pursue that. You know, I didn't have children, and I chose to travel and work and educate. And so I have a different path, and I've had to really fight. And I thought it was me, you know, I thought, well, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing it something right. And I've discovered that I have been doing things right. There's just a lot of barriers. So I have a lived experience in it. And I come to the table with solutions so that we can move all the women forward, whether they're from Atlanta or Portland or Myanmar.
And I mean, that's an interesting comparisons that you have. And I would think within those Myanmar, Cambodia, Atlanta, Georgia, Portland is different in terms of its opportunities for women-led businesses. Or am I being somewhat naive?
No, I mean, I think the Portland has a unique startup environment because it's come into development so late. We all know that Portland's really experiencing kind of its own little revolution, its own little economic development from kind of being this small town. We're sandwiched in between San Francisco and Seattle, which are meccas for massive startup companies. And we have that kind of tech talent, software talent, bioscience talent in the area. So I think that there's a kind of energy strategy around this. Now, not to say Portland's the only one. Atlanta, New York have huge, massive startup spheres. So I think just the space is receiving its due attention. And Portland is got a lot of champions and a lot of people working really hard to kind of have that inclusive, kind of interesting, exciting environment and taking advantage of its regional location.
Amy Germain is Executive Director of Women Led. Amy, just to wrap up our conversation, just an easy softball question. Advice for a woman that wants to start a business.
If only it was that easy. Seek out your resources. There's a lot of women who have been in your shoes, and they want to share with you. You're not alone. And so you can go out into the universe prepared. Go and find other women who have walked in your shoes and can give you advice. It's really the best thing you can do.
Thank you so much for your time and good luck with this new job.
Thank you so much.
Amy Germain is Executive Director for Women Led. This is the Nonprofit Hour on X-Ray FM.
The Nonprofit Happy Hour is made possible by Beneficial State Bank, a certified B Corp that holds to what it calls a triple bottom line of social justice, environmental well-being, and economic sustainability. If your organization or business is interested in underwriting our show, please email phil@mediamakingchange.org. The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a production of the Media Institute for Social Change and KXRY Radio, X-Ray FM. Our host is Phil Bussey. Our executive producer and editor is me, Carly Meisberger. Archives of past shows can be found on our SoundCloud page. Questions, comments, or ideas about the show can be sent to info@mediamakingchange.org. Thanks for tuning in.